Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we take a close look at one of the visits by the Blessed Virgin Mary, somewhere in time, somewhere over these 2,000 years, and all around the world. She does not favor any one particular country. She has been everywhere, and it's just amazing when you start looking at all the places. It goes from Australia to, of course, all over South America and North America and islands and of course, in Europe and down in Africa. That's a song, Down in Africa. Anyway, and across Asia. So it's just amazing the places that she has been. And what we do is we try to bring these stories to you with the most credible information, the best research, the best in terms of messages, quotes, scientific evidence, anything that might be related to the appearance, because people did keep track of things. Now, you have to understand, people weren't sitting around waiting for these things to happen. They just started happening, and it wasn't our idea. Heaven decided that Mary was going to make these appearances to inspire, to increase our faithfulness and get back to church, to perhaps warn us, give us predictions, many, many things she did. But there's a very consistent pattern that we see when we study so many stories. I know that when I became Catholic just 11 years ago, that most Catholics around me and what I was taught was there were, four or five different apparitions that they would talk about. Well, then I learned that there was a lot more than that. And I soon realized that I could track down and find books and things on the internet, articles about different apparitions, most of which are approved or in the process, as it does take a while. What I didn't realize is that there's closing in on 3,000 documented, and here only four or five are mentioned in the church. So I began avidly studying because it was fascinating, and what was even more interesting was all the things I was finding that nobody knew about. So I decided, hey, people got to know about this stuff. I mean, this stuff is happening. It's real. It's out there. It's going on, and nobody seems to know about it. And I swore at that point that I would be on a mission to spread as much of the information as I could far and wide. I had no idea I'd be on this show and that I would be spreading it far and wide. What at first we tracked 130 countries. Now, a recent update shows that it's at least 100 more countries have been tuning in. So we're up to 200 and something in number of countries. And there aren't that many more countries than that in the world. So basically the whole world has been listening. And it just blows my mind. I can't even imagine that the whole world has been listening to us. But they have. And we have evidence and proof that they're doing it. And we've made friends like Amy in Peru, and there's one in England, and there's others around the world that we've become familiar with. So what a treat. But everyone's excited. Everybody wants to hear more, and that's what we're doing here tonight. We'll be going into part three of Garabandal, Spain, one of my favorites, and happened in the early 1960s. But before we get back to that story, let's find out which members of our team are with us tonight, starting with the co-host and founder of Deeper Truth, Mr. Donald Hartley.
Well, I got a question for you. Who is this that comes forth like the dawn, as beautiful as the moon, as resplendent as the sun, as awe-inspiring as bannered troops? Who do you think that's referring to there, coming from Song of Songs there, John?
Well, it has to be the Virgin Mary.
Amen. Now, you take that piece right there that I just shared there and couple that with what it says here in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 17. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And this is what comes to what we're talking about here tonight in the Journey with Mary. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Wow.
Amen.
Who is that?
Yes.
You just put that together, man, and it is very, very interesting. We do have Judy Alciator. Very biblical. Everything we do here is biblical, either implicitly or explicitly. Now, we have Paul, Judy's husband. I think he's – I didn't mean that, Paul.
Oh, you blew that one.
Yes, I did, didn't I?
Hey, Paula.
Judy's husband, Paul, I believe is going to read her poem tonight. Or do you want to do that at the beginning, middle, or end? The beginning? John?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
yeah,
so
let's do it.
Paul, Judy.
Bring
Judy
Paula
has no voice.
On.
To...
this is Paul here. I have her poem ready.
Oh, good. Go for it. Go for it.
Dear Blessed Mother, please pray for us, for this world has gone astray, and we, God's children, are suffering, for we have lost our Lord's true way. Dear Blessed Mother, we call to thee, invoking thy sweet name, for we know we sin and walk in pride, yet seldom any shame. Dear Blessed Mother, we cry to thee, please intercede, we pray, and ask dear Jesus, thy holy Son, to bless us and show us the way. For all alone we cannot be who God has called us to be. So in our weak and darkened state, we hope, with hope, we fly to thee. And through thy prayers and love us, we know that we shall find the peace and bliss of heaven above, where all are true and kind. Dear Blessed Mother, we thank thee now for all thy love and care. And may we all, with grateful hearts, find love that we may share. Heavenly Father and Spirit Divine, dear Jesus, Redeemer King, we thank thee for thy mother and for every good thing. Thank you, Lord.
Wow, nicely
That's
done,
wonderful.
Paul.
Yes. Very well. Very well done.
You're hired.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That is,
I'm
well
still
done,
quivering
that
inside.
That's very powerful. Very powerful. We also have John the Virginian. John, how are you doing tonight, my brother?
Oh, doing great. I always look forward to these programs. You know, it's amazing that we broadcast to 200 and something countries. We just recently did our 2000th episode, and it's just such a joy. It's such a joy to bring the message of the gospel You know, it's amazing, John, that we broadcast and that we're heard by 200 countries. But you know what's even more amazing is we're heard by the Queen of Heaven herself. And that's staggering to even imagine. And she's got a big golden stick. She's got a big old golden stick that she'll use on the devil every time he messes with us.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is very awesome.
The golden rod.
Yep.
The golden rod, yeah.
And she is not afraid to use it.
No, she doesn't either. Nope. We also got Terry from the great state of Texas, not too far from you are, Paul. Terry, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, brother, I am way too blessed to be stressed. Our Lord Jesus Christ pulled me out of a man-made hell and gave me a life that I never even dreamed of. And man, Sunday was Sunday, went to Mass, received the Lord. I'm walking on clouds right now.
Cloud nine.
I love it. I love it.
I do too.
I can relate to that.
Oh, me too. That is so wonderful.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Our latest addition, actually, to Deeper Truth is Terry, and he's from the great state
and
of Texas.
What a magnificent addition he has been. It's been such a blessing to have him on board. And like you said, he's got that fire with him, and it's contagious. But you know, and you should be on fire for the Lord. I mean, you know, everything that he's done for us and everything that he's doing for us. You shouldn't be mailing it in as far as your faith is concerned.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, Paul, is Judy in the same room where you're at? Is she right there with you by any chance? The reason I'm asking is because I just got a message from your significant other, and she said, you did great.
No, we're in different rooms.
Well, I'm just letting you know that what was heard in the other room, you got a gold medal tonight in the Olympics. You got a gold medal tonight. Excellent.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent.
Very
great
good.
Stuff.
So, John,
Donald,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
The question I have is, you talk about the big five that most people talk about. In the church, most Catholic that you know about, and off the top of my head, I would assume Lourdes, Fatima, Guadalupe, and Mount Carmel. Would you consider Garibandal to be that number five, or that people
no, not at
talk
all.
About?
Attica.
Nope.
Antica.
Nope.
Right.
Our Lady of Snows.
Well, Miraculous Medal is the one that probably comes up.
Oh, yeah. That's
and then Medjugorje, Medjugorje is talked about a lot because it's so present right now. But most people never heard of Garibandal. So that's why we do this show.
Attica.
Go ahead,
how do you say Attica or Attica? The one
Japan?
In the one in Japan. That's a pretty
Akita.
Popular one, too.
Akita,
there it
is.
Yeah.
And I would say
Lhasa Lhasa gets
a lot of press, too, right?
Yeah, Lhasa Lhasa. So you can start naming then, but if you try to go over 10, you'll probably have trouble.
But, I mean, would you agree with me that the big four, definitely Fatima, Lourdes, Guadalupe, and Mount Carmel, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. And then
I got a miraculous medal on right now.
There you go.
Cool.
Me too.
Awesome.
Good job.
I've been wearing it since like 2005.
Let's remember St. Catherine Laboure is one of the incorruptibles.
Yep, she sure is.
That's right.
She looks like she's in a sleeping state. Yeah,
hey, Donald,
go ahead, Terry.
Hey, before we get started, because you mentioned the Olympics, and the first thought I had was where Paul was telling us to run the race like we want to win it, you know, and you know you're talking about the Olympics, And man, the treasure at the end of our race, I mean, no eye has seen and no ear has heard the glory that's in store for those who love the Lord.
Amen.
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 That's what this is all about.
Seems to me the faith blaster is going to be covering that here pretty soon.
The faith blaster.
But we have
okay,
the gold
yeah,
medal, the gold medal relay team of Deeper Truth right here. We have John Benko, Donald Hartley, John Carpenter, and Gregory Thompson for the gold medal relay team, bringing it home.
Amen. Bring it home.
There
I
you
agree.
Go. There you go.
I think this is.
All right.
Have you heard our, John, have you heard our faith blaster?
I don't
have
think
you heard
so.
That? Mm. Well, just just give this a second.
Okay.
Welcome to Deeper Truth Radio. It's time to engage the faith blaster.
It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. We have heard this before. It is the most important light that shines through the darkness, between an illusion and reality, between science and faith. And it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. Again, something we have heard before. This is the dimension of where heaven and earth join together. It is an area we call the Faith Blaster.
Well, that's the faith blaster. Oh, man.
Well,
I tell you what.
I can't wait till the movie comes out.
No, John, you know Donald's always
trailer.
Impressed. Donald's always happy every time he can make a big speech. You know that, right?
Right. That was a nice trailer, though. I was waiting for the movie. Oh, that was awesome. That's awesome. Pretty soon you'll be wearing a cape, Donald, and flying around.
Oh,
oh my goodness.
Oh boy.
Well,
that's all right, guys. We're headed to Spain now. We're going to Garabandal for week 3. And I know last week we had to skip, but those things happen. Anyway, we're going to pick up where we kind of left off. And just for those who haven't heard, this began in Garabandal in the northern coast of Spain back in 1961, lasted in through 1965. Four young girls around 10, 11 years old. And it began with St. Michael coming to them for a week. A week to 10 days, he was coming to them, not saying much, but just letting them get accustomed to supernatural visits. Very same thing happened with Fatima, with an angel coming several times a year before Mary started. So it's a way of kind of introducing the supernatural taste of heaven before the queen arrives. And that's happened in other parishions as well. So anyway, the four girls got entranced by St. Michael, and then he said the Virgin Mary would be there the next day, and of course she was. Well, these girls have had so many details that match so many other apparitions, especially in terms of their going into ecstasy, and they can't be disturbed, they can't be lifted, they can't be moved, they can't be pinched or burned or nothing. You know, it's just a typical visionary experience. And they also began the process of having Mary. It was Mary's idea. They were picking up little stones, and baby Jesus was in her arms, and they were playing with him with the little stones. And she says, here, let me kiss them. And when she kissed the little stones, she said, now give them to people, and there will be great blessings and graces and healings and stuff like that from the stones that she kissed. Well, that led to what has gone through many apparitions now around the world, where religious items are kissed by Mary, including crucifixes, rosaries, other medallions, the miraculous medal, anything that she can kiss, and then it's handed back to the people. And it's really cool because the Garibaldi girls were in trance with Mary as she was kissing things, and then without looking, they would just walk backwards and reach behind them, giving it to the right person, although they should have absolutely no idea from that pile of religious objects who, what belonged to whom. But Mary was guiding them. They were watching her, and she was directing them to the right person. And she knew which item belonged to whom. And when you think about that, that is so cool. Mary knew which religious item in that pile belonged to whom, and was directing the girls, who weren't even looking at the people, but looking at her, and she was directing them who to give it to. And they never messed up or made a mistake. One of the little gifts this series of apparitions gives us, just really cool stuff like that. It's just beyond explanation. So we pick it up now with two Jesuit priests, Father Luis André and his brother, Father Ramon. They had both gone to Garibaldi out of curiosity. As Father Ramon watched in ecstasy, he began to have some serious doubts. So he thought to himself, and remember, folks, if you think things to yourself, heaven can hear it, because he thought to himself, quote, if this is authentic, let the apparition cease for one of them, knowing that there's four girls there. At that very moment, one of the girls, Mary Lowly, came out of her trance and looked over at Father Ramon, who was smiled at him. A few moments later, she went back into her ecstasy, and Jacinta, next to her, asked her why she had left. And Mary Lowly asked the Virgin Mary what had happened. Then there's this moment of silence. And then Father Ramon was able to hear Mary Lowly say, oh, that's why. It was so he would believe. Quote. Now I'm going to stop right there for a second. I love that. I mean, you think to yourself, okay, if this is real, let one of them pop out. And one of them does, and then asked Mary what happened, and she goes, yeah, so he would believe. what do you think of that?
Well, you know, John, to me, this is just so biblical. I mean, think about this. Saint Daniel had a vision in Daniel chapter 10, very similar to Revelation chapter 1. He has this vision, and he goes on to say in verse 7, I alone, Daniel, saw the vision, but great fear seized the men who were with me. They fled and hid themselves, although they did not see the vision. So I was left alone seeing this great vision. No strength remained in me. I turned the color of death and was powerless. When I heard the sound of his voice, I fell face forward in a faint. But then a hand touched me, raising me to my hands and knees. And Daniel, beloved, he said to me, understand the words which I am speaking to you. Stand up, for my mission now is to you. Now think about that. My mission is now to you. Well, also our Lord is speaking to us. His mission is now to us. My. John, the Virginian, what do you think of that, my brother?
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of a scene in Song of Bernadette in the story of Lourdes, where the challenge was made, well, if the lady is really appearing at Lourdes, let her get the emperor to reopen the grotto. And no sooner had he done it, that it's handed down. And you remember the scene in the movie where he looks at the bishop and says, "Well, your lady doesn't take long to meet a challenge, does she?"
I agree with that.
It's kind of the same thing.
Well, Terry, do you have any thought on that?
I'm familiar with the story, so I'm kind of like listening on the edge of my seat here.
Okay.
But I will say this: Mary, it seems to have appeared at various times when the world was in deep trouble. You know, World War One, World War Two. You know, and I'm waiting for the next major apparition. Because we need it now.
Yeah, you know, Terry, Lepanto is probably the best example of what you're talking about. She tends to appear when our backs are really against the wall, and kind of bail us out.
Sure.
Amen. So, John, I was wondering
right.
to see if Paul had a thought. Paul, do you have a thought on this, just out of curiosity, since you're kind of hanging in there with us?
Well, no, I'm just hanging in. I'm just amazed by all of it. I've never heard so much about the miraculous appearances in my entire life. And I went to Catholic school, Catholic high school, a Catholic university.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed.
Now you're in another Catholic school.
Now you're at Deeper Truth University.
You know,
though,
John. John, and I know you want to get back to the story, but just let me just say one thing. We've talked about this before, and what a shame it is that they're not talking about it in the churches and in the schools more than they are. This is a very, very precious part of our faith that should be shared. But you know, you almost have to go to programs like Deeper Truth to hear about it.
Absolutely.
That's why we're glad to do it.
That's right.
Amen.
So on another occasion, both of these priests closely observed all four girls in an ecstasy in the church. The girls were begging Mary for proof or some miracle because so many people still did not believe them. They made a march backwards while in their ecstasy, and I've seen video of this actually. They're all marching backwards to the altar. They drop to their knees in unison and recite a rosary like in one voice, beautifully, in one synchronous voice. The Virgin Mary told them to pray at the cluster of pines near the village that evening. The girls kept pleading and insisting on some kind of miracle. Later, their ecstatic march took them to all of the places where apparitions had occurred, ending finally at the cluster of pines. They continued asking for proof from Mary so that others would believe. Suddenly, Father Louis André turned pale and went into an ecstasy. The four girls were amazed that they could see him there with them in the light of Mary. And see, a lot of people don't realize this, but that priest became a fifth visionary at that moment. He was there with the four girls seeing Mary in the light of Mary. And Mary explained to the girls that she – oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. He exclaimed, "A miracle, a miracle, a miracle." Mary explained to the girls that she had allowed this priest to see her and that he was also seeing the miracle. And we'll hear more about that later. Then the girls heard Mary tell the priest, "You will soon be with me," unquote. Okay, let me say that again. The four girls heard the Virgin Mary tell the priest, "You will soon be with me." Afterwards, Father Louis met with Father Valentin and insisted that what the girls are reporting is genuine because he just experienced it too. Father Lewis told others, "How happy I am. I am overflowing with happiness. The Virgin Mary gave me such a gift. I do not harbor the slightest doubt about the reality of what has happened to the children. It is the truth. How fortunate it is to have a mother in heaven. We need not fear the supernatural life. I cannot have the slightest doubt about their visions. This is the happiest day of my life," unquote. I would feel the same way if she pulled me into an apparition with the other visionaries and let me experience it. I would be talking just like him. I know I would. Well, here's what's interesting. A little bit later, he's riding with friends in a car, and Father Lewis, Andre, becomes very quiet. He bowed his head, sighed, and was gone. Dead at age 36, despite being in good health. Just as Mary had predicted, he died of intense joy. A few days later, the four girls had a very unusual experience. While in ecstasy, they all saw an unusual light and heard Father Lewis's voice calling each of them by name. He had messages for his brother Ramon and their mother. Quote, "Be happy and content, for I am in heaven, and I see you every day," unquote. His brother, Father Ramon, did not believe that the girls were talking with his dead brother until they revealed secrets spoken from Lewis that only the two brothers could have known. Later on, his mother was getting ready for bed when she heard a voice say, "Lewis is coming." Suddenly, her bedroom was illuminated, and she saw her son, Lewis, with two priests. No words were necessary, just seeing him one last time and knowing he was happy in heaven was good enough for his mother. On July 18, 1964, the Virgin Mary told Conchita that Father Lewis was indeed in heaven and foretold that on the day after the miracle in the pine grove, his body would be found incorrupt. All right, I'll stop right there for a second. This is just amazing, guys, that this young priest, 35 years old, just suddenly dies of joy and joins Mary in heaven and sends messages back to his brother and to his mother. How about that?
Well, you know, John, it sounds like that he bypassed purgatory. And here at Deeper Truth, we've been talking a lot about that, about doing the plenary indulgences and promoting the plenary indulgences. And so that, like this priest, we too can bypass purgatory. But there's something else I thought was interesting when you're talking about people looking for proof and all these things. It says in 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, "Beloved, do not trust every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they belong to God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so the church is busy about doing this. We know that here at Deeper Truth, based on mainly your work on this, John, that it takes about an average of 56 years for the church to accept something, but it has gone down from 30 days to 460 years, whatever the situation is there. But the church does investigate these things. And this priest, what a wonderful story this is, because he saw Our Lady and he died of joy. That is an amazing thing. I mean, despite all the problems around us, we can have that joy. There's a difference between joy and happiness. I think joy is something that the devil cannot take away from you, no matter how bad things could be. Happiness is something that is transient, like sand can, you know just go through your fingers. But joy is something that you can stand on. I think. John, the Virginian,
yeah.
Do you have any thought on that?
Oh, you know, you're so right, Donald. Joy is something that's infused in us. Joy is not something that we can create. We spend our entire life chasing happiness, and I love the image that Solomon uses about chasing after the wind. That's what chasing happiness, fleeting happiness is. But joy is something that's infused inside the soul. When you talk about this priest bypassing purgatory, and it isn't just for priests. It isn't just for, you know, people who are pure as the driven snow. Former sinners can bypass purgatory. A little story. You're all familiar with St. Padre Pio, of course. On the date of the assassination of John Kennedy, Padre Pio was visibly shaken by the assassination of John Kennedy. One of the other priests tried to comfort him and said, let us pray for him. And Padre Pio turned to the other priest and said, it's not necessary. He's already in paradise. So everybody knows John Kennedy had kind of a checkered past. It's common knowledge that he had an illicit relationship with Marilyn Monroe. And yet, because of the graces available in the church, at least according to a saint of the church, he was one of those saints that was able to use those the treasury of graces, as it's described, to bypass purgatory. So if John Kennedy can do it, why can't all of us?
Well, and to add to that, in my research, when you are murdered or taken before your supposed time, you'll go straight to heaven. Cheated.
As a martyr?
Yeah, sort of like that, yeah. So
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Terry, you have any thought on that?
Well,
Terry knows about joy.
What a wonderful way to die. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, really, everybody, every Catholic in the world should be thinking about that last day on earth, because you want to die in a state of grace, you know. You want to die on fire for God. But being able to die because of the joy of God, man, what a way to go, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Well,
I was just wondering if Paul has a thought on that, too, since we're kind of – Paul, you have any thought on that?
Well, I never thought about John Kennedy before in that manner, but that sounds like a wonderful thing. And all I can say is God bless him.
When God forgives you, that's important. And you look at Matthew chapter 16, whatever you declare bound on earth shall be declared bound in heaven. Whatever you declared lucid on earth shall be declared lucid in heaven. And when the church offers you, for example, the plenary indulgences that we're promoting, especially through the rosary, that is something. I remember his brother, Robert Kennedy, when he was shot. What you actually could see him reaching into his pocket, pulling out a rosary, which was something that you could actually see him doing when he was shot.
Donald? One of the great blessings of my life is I knew somebody who died with the rosary in their hands. And you know who that is?
Your brother.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brother Mike.
Yeah, that's something. That's a gift to know that they are in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you have a loved one that dies, we tend to always think, well, they're in a better place, and our hope is that they are. But to know that through the power of the.
I like what Christy said about it, Donald. That what a way to meet God when you're already talking to him.
I'm going on
with our story. On various occasions, Saint Michael appeared again, and he told the girls to prepare for communion by praying the I confess to God. Then he would administer communion to them. Villagers would observe them stick their tongues out to receive the host, but could never see the host. The girls never realized that the host was actually invisible, as they could feel it and swallow it quite naturally. After communion, St. Michael taught them to give thanks to God through the prayer of St. Ignatius Loyola. On June 22, 1962, he told Conchita that he would give her a visible host during communion, which was when she first learned that the hosts they'd been getting were not visible. Of course, anyone in the crowd could have told you that they weren't visible. The Virgin Mary told Conchita that the date for this miracle would be July 18, 1962. So, here we are. Mary's saying a miracle is going to happen on that day, and St. Michael is going to give her a visible host out of thin air that will appear on her tongue. Okay, that's pretty amazing. Word of this spread like fire, and there was a joyous celebration and much anticipation on that day. However, as the day wore on, many people became disappointed and went home. Finally, at 1:40 a.m. that night, or the next morning, Conchita left her home in ecstasy, and the lingering crowd, which was still about 100 people, eagerly accompanied her. Several eyewitnesses reported this miracle. Benjamin Gomez said, quote, "I was so close, inches from her face, in her mouth, nothing. Turned my head just for an instant. When I looked back, the host was on her tongue. It was white, out of this world, like snow, like a snowflake upon which the sun's rays was striking." Wow. Another witness said, and this is Pepe Diaz, he says, "I was scarcely 18 inches away from her face. She kept her tongue out like that for about a minute. As I stood there, my eyes riveted to her. Something incredible happened. Without moving my eyes for a fraction of a second, suddenly a neat, precise, and well-formed host appeared miraculously on Conchita's tongue. Her tongue was out and bare, and then all of a sudden, the host was just there. I did not see how it came. It was instantaneous. It was just there." A third witness, Alejandro de Mons, says, quote, "There was a great deal of confusion, crowding, pushing, people trying to see. I crouched over, and Conchita was on her knees. I took the movie camera out of the bag and looked through the lens without making any adjustments. I was sure I could see her head, and it started shooting. I caught the last seconds of the miracle on film. I would not exchange the bliss which I felt in those moments for anything in this world. It was a joy, deep and intense, which I cannot explain," unquote. This was the evidence that so many people were looking for, because church law states that one can partake. Now, this is back in 1961, but because church law back then states that one can partake in communion only one time per day, St. Michael had to wait until the early hours of the next morning, because Conchita had already been to Mass earlier on the anticipated day with all of its celebrations, and she wasn't thinking. She'd already had the host that day. So that's why St. Michael had to wait till 1:40 a.m. But the pictures served as proof for those who had given up and left earlier that evening. Okay, guys, this is just so cool. And, of course, if you want to see that picture, it's on my website, Divine Miracles. I'm sorry, divinemysteries.info. And you go to the Garibandal apparition, and you will see the picture of that host on her tongue in the darkness of the night, and it's just a beauty. It's a beauty.
It's
a movie film.
Yeah, it's also on this. It's also with this show here because I have that picture also added with what we are talking about tonight. One of the things I want to say, though, I too today received a miraculous host, visible host on my tongue today, and so I feel like, wow. But it wasn't by an angel, but it was by our priest. we received the same body, blood, soul, divinity. And when you were presenting that, it almost sounded like, kind of reminded me of the manna that we hear about in the Old Testament. But this is far greater than that. Oh, far greater than that.
Yeah.
I'm going to open this up to John and Terry and Paul, if you all have any thought on this. John, you got anything?
Isn't it amazing the way that heaven bows, or I don't know if bows is the word, defers to the authority of the church, that it was a canon law or practice of the church that you could only receive communion once per day. Now you can receive it twice per day. But it's amazing that heaven defers to the church and shows us what confidence that we can have in following the church and following the magisterium. You can't go wrong, because whatever the church teaches on faith and morals is ratified in heaven, and we see a demonstration that here St. Michael has to wait because the church has said, no, you can only receive it once a day. So it's astounding, and that's one of the things that our Protestant brothers and sisters really have a difficulty with, is that heaven really follows the dictates of our church. They have a difficulty with that.
Well, John, just
a good example.
You go to Revelation chapter 22. You have the angel appearing to St. John, and what does the angel he's really talking about here? He's talking about, even though we have a pope in Rome, and we have already at this time when St. John is speaking about this, we have an angel who's recognizing the authority of the church at that time, during the lifetime of St. John. I think that just typifies exactly what you're saying there, John. 100%.
It is amazing.
It is amazing. So from the very beginning, it was that way. What do you think about that there, Terry?
Well, I like what you said. I received that same miracle today myself. And, you know, I wish more Catholics would approach the throne of God more reverently when they're receiving, and just remember that the one that you are receiving is the one that created everything in existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. That we are receiving Jesus Christ, body, soul, body, blood, soul, and divinity. I mean, 100%. We are going to the throne of the exact same Creator who will judge every man who's ever lived, is living now, or ever will live. We're going before the same throne, and I wish that more Catholics would approach that throne more reverently, like these little girls did, on our knees and on our tongue, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. Paul, did you notice that St. Michael didn't offer that Eucharist and place it in her hands, but on her tongue? I think that's significant in that, too. What do you think of that, Paul?
Well, again, I think respecting the traditions and the word of the church in that day.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, to emphasize what Terry is saying, you know, to sum it up, it's not a what that you're receiving, it's a who. And that you always need to be focused on that. And it's not just any who. It's the creator of the universe.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Very good. Well, here's another, before we run out of time tonight, here's another little story that happened there. And we'll be continuing Garabandal next week because we still have messages to go through and more details. But a retired U.S. Army colonel, Father George Costigan, he actually was a priest, but also a retired U.S. Army colonel, had lost all vision in one eye due to cancer. He was drawn to Mary's messages in Garabandal that emphasized prayer, penance, and sacrifice. So he decided to visit Garabandal unannounced in everyday clothing so that no one would recognize him as a U.S. colonel or a priest or anything. So he just came in regular clothing. And much to his surprise, a little five-year-old girl who spoke perfect English, and now we're talking about a five-year-old girl who spoke perfect English, runs up to him and asks him if he would like for Jacinta to put her hands on his forehead. He asks the child why she would want to do that. And the little child replied, "Aren't you the priest who has cancer?" He was speechless. How could this tiny child possibly know him or his condition and then speak to him in perfect English? He decided this must be an angel. And minutes later, without any greeting, introduction, or identification, Jacinta arrived in ecstasy. And you know who's directing her if she's in ecstasy. And she shows up and promptly places her hand on Father Costigan's forehead. Now, a short time later, during the Mass in church, his eyesight was fully restored perfectly with the last Hail Mary of the Rosary. Now, I love that little story. See, that Garabandal's got so many cool little stories. But here's this guy, a priest and a U.S. retired colonel, who shows up in everyday attire so nobody will recognize him. And this little five-year-old runs up to him in perfect English, knows who he is, knows that he's got cancer, and knows that Jacinta could help with a healing. And then all of a sudden Jacinta shows up being directed by the Virgin Mary in ecstasy right to Father Costigan, puts the hand on the forehead, and during Mass, during the Rosary, boom, he's healed. Wow. Is it getting better than that?
No, reaction? It does not. I had two guys that was sitting in the back of the church at midnight Mass there in 1997 there at Fort Campbell. And these two guys were sitting in the back there. And you ever get that feeling where someone is barreling holes in your back? And these guys was watching me. And I don't know how they picked me up out of a crowd. But I was after midnight Mass, I was up there talking with some of my RCIA candidates. And on my way out, one of them stood up, came over to me, and wanted to know if I would speak with them. So I ended up speaking with them, and we talked for, if we're about an hour there at the back of the church, and then the chaplain's assistants came up and said, "Hey, man, we're trying to get home. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning." So we took it out into the parking lot, and we talked out there till 6 in the morning when I said, "Hey, guys, I got to get ready to go to home because my kids are going to want to get up, and you know how it is on Christmas morning. They want to open up all their presents and things." But they pressed upon me if we could talk later on in the day. And I said, "Well, let me know. I'll find out. I'll see." Oh, I ended up giving them 4 hours Christmas Day later on, then the next day and the next day. I ended up giving them about 25 hours. Well, these two guys, I didn't know them from Adam. They were from Atlanta, I did find out later. And on the way, I joined them up there before they left. They were getting ready to go on the bus, and so I spent some time with them also before they left on the bus. I found out later that they were homosexual. They had been homosexual lovers, and as a result of that time that we spent, they forsaked that lifestyle. One of them came up with AIDS. He was tested 3 different times with positive. He was had positive for HIV. And he went to a Catholic charismatic prayer group there in Atlanta. And so people came up to him and asked if they could pray over him. And they didn't know him either. But however they were inspired or whatever, they came up to him and asked him if they could place their hands on his forehead, on him. And he granted that, of course. I mean, you know, he didn't know them either, but he was placing his faith. And he said he felt this warmth that went through his body. And to this day, he has no longer HIV. And so that story
love it.
That you just gave, oh, gosh, it's just powerful.
Mm-hmm.
This, we got, I'm going to get to John and Terry and Paul. Last call, guys. Do you have any thought on what John had to say there about that story?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of dreading the rest of it because John has convinced me that this apparition is legit, which kind of worries me because I've heard there's some very, very serious warnings that come out of Garabandal. So if you believe in the apparitions, then you have to believe in the warnings, and the warnings are coming up.
Next week.
But yeah, I mean, this one seems to have all the earmarks of one of the you know, really serious legit apparitions, which is it's kind of troubling that it hasn't been approved yet. It's strange.
Yep. Stay tuned. All right. Any other comments before we close up?
Terry.
All right.
Oh no, I'm just listening to it. I had never heard this story before, and so now that he's already kind of tipped the hand a little bit, now I'm kind of like, uh-oh, can't wait for the warnings.
It's
It'll
coming.
Be all right.
It's coming.
And it won't be the only place that the things are said. That's what's kind of cool. But we'll get to that next week and wrap it all up and explain where all that stands today. So thank you all for joining us. Wonderful. And before we close out, of course, we like to ask the whole world. We know you're out there listening. It's been proven. And we know for a fact you're out there listening all over the world. So what better way to make heaven smile than for all of us to say a Hail Mary in unison together, and heaven will smile hearing all of our voices around the world. Just imagine that, all around the world at once, saying a Hail Mary together. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy
Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and
at the hour of our death.
Amen.
And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. Hopefully this was helpful, inspirational. I mean, there's just so many cool little bits in this Garabandal story. I just love it. So many things that
God
just go beyond.
Have a wonderful week.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Amen. I'm going to dedicate this song to everybody out there listening. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Since this world When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.